Hello, everyone. Today I have a special guest. Rez, how's it going today?
Good, man. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you to introduce yourself because I think you're the best to do so.
Well, I'm Rezvan. I'm from Romania, but everybody just calls me Rez. It's a lot easier. And I run Voxide.com, which is an online school learning platform for Houdini and Nuke primarily. We might expand in the future to other software, but for now, there's really a lot to cover when it comes to Houdini and Nuke. And I choose these two software specifically because I think you can do anything with them. Mm-hmm. There's still a few limitations with Houdini, mainly regarding modeling, but I think it's coming really close to an all-in-one package, and then Nuke mm-hmm. will just complement it on the compositing side. So I think for the long run, if you want to get into like CG, then definitely the Houdini will be a part of your workflow one way or another, right?
Yeah. And learning it is such a like a generalist thing to do. It can do so many things. I mean, you're right, like modeling maybe not the best. Sculpting,
you can do procedural modeling.
Yeah, procedural right? modeling for sure. To, yeah.
It's easier to build a city in Houdini than it is in Maya, but like a character, definitely. Mm. I mean, you don't have any sculpting tools either, so you need something like ZBrush and something for retopology and stuff like that. But as far as characters are concerned, with Apex being introduced, which is a new rigging and animation system.
Oh,
it was introduced recently, like last year. Now it's really, it's one of the best because I have some experience in Maya. I've done some rigging in Maya and Blender and animation. And really this new system in Houdini with KineFX, which is the kind of like an older system to do some of this stuff. It's really good. It's really good. It's just that it's not a lot of there's not a lot of resources right now. But I think in the
like
future,
to learn from.
Yeah.
That's the main problem with Houdini anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do have a lot of resources now, especially as opposed to when I started a few years ago. Mm. But even then, we did kind of start to ramp up in the resources for learning material. But now, for Houdini, for visual effects, there are a lot of resources, and for procedural modeling, but this is like brand new. This Apex just came out last year, so very limited resources, and it's a little bit technical. They still, what Houdini guys, what the side effects crew usually does is they give you all the bare bone, like all the lowest level nodes to build the stuff. But then they, with following versions, they create wrappers around the nodes, around those nodes, to have it more accessible to new users. But there's still all of the wrappers, all of the new stuff coming up, is still based on stuff that was already in Houdini. So that's really one of the coolest parts of Houdini, that whatever was good 10 years ago is still pretty, it's still usable today. Mm. Right, because it's built on these foundational building blocks, and
how did you start with Houdini? Let's start with this.
Kind of weird, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I was making let's say if my career was like 15 years when I started making money from DCCs, I started with After Effects, and I created a lot of After Effects templates, actually. So if you're familiar with VideoHive, which is a place for all of the After Effects templates, we had like intros, logo stings, and stuff like that. Mm. I started with that, with After Effects, and I really made a lot of intros, and it was really, really cool, because you get to really explore anything that you want. So there was no boss telling you what to do. So you can really, whatever ideas you had, you can try to put them to screen. And I learned a lot of stuff that way. But in order to, I was always really passionate about magical effects, I really love particles. Like 15 years ago, I love particles now. it was always a constant for me, something special about having something like small points glowing in a dark room. That's to me, that's like the best. But obviously I was limited in After Effects. But also then I started really early on, I started learning Cinema 4D. And they had some particle systems, but you really needed a plugin. You needed X particles.
Yeah.
And in 3D Max, I tried that as well. You needed thinking particles. So you always needed these add-ons. And I did make a few cool shots with those, but obviously they were limited. And in 2019, I have no idea how I came across a video on YouTube, which was a Houdini reel. And it really wasn't the most amazing reel. It was something like a junior reel. But already I was seeing some stuff that I was like, well, this isn't possible in Cinema 4D. Like you can't get wood fracturing, something like really simple, like a plank of wood being destroyed and having the splinters, having the clusters in like a specific shapes. You really can't have that in Cinema 4D. And I was like, oh, wow, I wonder what this Houdini is. I've never heard about this software. So then I started to dig in a little bit and I was like, well, I'm going to create some awesome templates now if I learn this software. So I started learning Houdini, right? And this, I mean, the rest is history. I went in a huge rabbit hole. I was shut in my house for like 3 months straight, just trying to figure out this software. Became completely obsessed and I went just full ADHD. full focus, full, because this is the problem with Houdini. You instantly, when you open up the problem, when you open up the software, you are faced with a million problems.
Yeah.
You are just instantly hit with a million brick walls, which you have to like take down one at a time, until it actually starts to make sense and you get into the fun zone. And I think this is what's off-putting to a lot of people, especially if they're more artistically oriented rather than technical. I think it's really hard to get to that fun zone when you can just use Houdini to create. You really need a lot of footwork to do before you can actually start having fun, which is different from other software like Blender, especially, or Maya, or even 3ds Max. If you watch a Blender tutorial, if you watch the Donut tutorial, which is like the most famous tutorial with CG online, I think you can get a result almost instantly. Because you can just drop down a cube, you can just grab the points, and you can just modify some stuff, add some divisions or whatever. You can model a little bit. You have access to all of these tools. But in Houdini, when you just drop down a cube, you have to know what a context is because you're at the object level. You have to know what the levels are. You have to dive inside. You place down a cube, but it's actually to modify the cube, you have to access the universe of the cube, which is the geometry level, and then you can maybe make some modifications, and you can't just grab the points. You have to drop down a node which allows you to grab the points. So I'm just trying to illustrate that a very simple thing, it's made very hard in Houdini, and I was extremely frustrated with this because at the time I also had experience with Cinema 4D. I tried 3ds Max, Maya, Blender, all of the softwares, and it was just extremely frustrating because all the time I was going, why is it making it so hard? Like, why are you like this, Houdini? Why stop being like this, right? Why are you making things so hard? I could have done this so easily in Cinema 4D. This would have been like 5 minutes. Now I'm like 5 hours into this and I still can't figure it out. So I have no idea why I didn't want to quit like right away, but I got extremely stubborn with it.
Which is a feature of ADHD as well.
Exactly. Well, because it was funny because a couple of years after, my wife got a book about ADHD and stuff like that, recognized the symptoms and stuff like that. So she was reading the book and then all the time, like every 5 minutes, she was going like, oh, this is you. This is you. Check this out. She was bringing me the book, the ability to hyper focus on one. So when I get into this like hyper focused area state, like the whole apartment can burn around me. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
You
same,
know, it's
same. I mean, me and my wife are diagnosed with ADHD, so we kind
of. Oh, that's bad. That's
so the whole house is burning, and we're like the meme. Oh, this is fine.
That's a bad combination because luckily my wife doesn't have this extreme ADHD. So if something is happening, if the dog isn't fed, then she'll take care of it. Otherwise, the poor guy is starving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to take showers. I don't want to eat. I can't. I just didn't want to let Houdini beat me, right?
Yes.
It did.
Yeah, it did beat you.
It trashed me like 100 times. You just have to, you know, get up one more time. One more time. And eventually you kind of get it. And now, I mean, I'm super thankful, obviously, because my whole life is built around Houdini. But it's a very, very rewarding experience. I think all of the Houdini users have a deep sense of pride in their work and in just being able to use Houdini, because it's just so difficult. It's just very challenging, right? Even if you have the perfect learning materials, even if you just have to do a lot of work, you have to do a lot of work yourself, like no matter what. You have to not get discouraged. You have to like really, really want this, I think.
It kicks your ass if you didn't, right?
It is made so
you are kicked away if this was not for you, and your challenge if this was for you. I feel also like there's 40 ways to make a cube, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that because it's built differently. It's not built to make your typical, you know, characters or your typical modeling. It's built so it procedurally can create stuff. So if you're not in that mentality, it's not the software for you. And you know what? That's fine too. Go find the software that is for you. If you're here in Houdini, you want to make a character, you should probably not do that. And it should be difficult to do that anyway, because it's not made for that, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
If you brought 100%. Your character in and you want to UV it or procedurally rig it, that's the place for you, you know? And it welcomes you to do that too.
Yep. Well, not all software, because there's not one software which can do everything. I know the Blender community, bless their souls, they think they can do anything, and Blender can do everything, but it just can't handle the same level of simulation. I'm sorry to the Blender community, to everyone using, but everyone who uses Blender and Houdini like knows the limitations. And I think this is a very cool combination. Like Blender really covers all of the areas Houdini doesn't cover yet, like modeling, sculpting and stuff like that. But it's just a software limitation. You just can't really load 1 million voxels into Blender without it crashing. So there's a hard ceiling just for in terms of performance, right? And you can do VFX in Blender, you can do some tricks and stuff like that, but it's definitely not Houdini. Maybe one day, but probably Houdini will implement a sculpting and modeling system before that. But on that point that it's not a software for you, definitely it's more, you have to be a little bit technically oriented as well. Looking back at my life, sort of, I did enjoy in school, and this was when I was like really small, I did enjoy problem solving in math. I did enjoy like finding X and trying to find the solution. So I guess I do have a kind of a technically oriented mind as well, but I'm very much, I consider myself an artist first and foremost. So even in Houdini, the setups aren't really that complicated. It's just that I'm able to make them look good, right? With certain tricks that I know from the artistic side. I know that if I have a layer of particles, if I just duplicate the same layer and maybe just offset it a little bit, spin it a little bit, I add some variation, I add some glow on top of it, and it just looks instantly cool. Even though the techniques to achieve it are relatively like simple, not super technical.
I mean, once you know it, it becomes simple. And if you, but if you're a beginner, yes, like you said, you're gonna have to go through the 3-4 weeks of
pain.
You bashing your head with the screen.
It's and, it's more than 4 weeks, definitely. Yeah.
No, I mean, like just generally learning the UI or something, or creating like your first pyro effect or whatever it is that you want to do.
Exactly.
You will have to really go and bash your head. But thankfully, there are schools like yours that kind of, you know, people like you who went through the hard way of learning and can sum stuff up quite quickly and repackage it and put it out there of in a package that says this is what I would have wished existed
when I first started,
right?
Exactly as you said, there wasn't a... So right now what I'm trying to do between the workshops, the courses, which are project-based, I like to do, I have a series called Intro 2. So we start with Intro 2. All of the, if we break down Houdini, you have some solvers, you have the rendering side, you have some of the fundamental side. So I just break down every category and we just do an overview of the specific category. So
awesome.
You start with Intro to Houdini as a whole, where I explain what the object level is, what the contexts are, what, and it's just that it's because it's so much. And with the courses, what I'm trying to do is just isolate the part that we are interested in. So the course, the beginner course, is more towards how to learn Houdini for VFX. Mm. Like if you're, because Houdini is now a multifaceted software. It's part of many different industries, in the game industry as well, in the procedural modeling industry. But I'm specifically wanting to cover only the areas that will get you to make like cool effects. So this is what I'm saying in the courses is that there are all these different contexts. We have ROPs, SOPs, DOPs, whatever. But you are really interested in SOPs. This is where you'll spend 90% of the time. So you can just ignore this for now. You'll come back to that later. But let's focus on SOPs. Okay, so then within SOPs, you have attributes. Attributes can be point, primitive, detail, whatever, but most of the time it's points. So you do like you connect only the pieces that you need in order to get up to speed as fast as possible to do some cool effects, because that's the point, really. I want people, like whatever someone starts Houdini, I want to get you as fast as possible to a place where you can start having some fun. So we are ignoring a lot of stuff. I'm just doing like a shortcut to everything you need in order to get your hands dirty, get started with effects in particular. All right. So that's the philosophy, at least. So there, that's what I didn't have when I started out. We had that a little bit with Applied Houdini by Stephen Nipping, which is some courses on CG circuit, which are really, Mr. Nipping is my goat. To this day, he didn't make a tutorial in a while, but like, those were the holy grail, really, of Houdini tutorials. And I tried to take the same kind of teaching method and style to my courses as well, where we focus on only what matters in order to create some cool stuff. And
that's the thing about the industry, though. People, like, some companies look at it as a competitive thing, but...
Yeah, I can definitely understand that, but...
Online schools is like... We all inspire from each other and we all create stuff from each other and we learn from each other too. That's the whole point. The whole point is learning, earning on the side while doing so is nice, I feel. But it should not be looked as, it should only be my school. You're taking customers away from me. And it's like, well, kind of like if the waters are all higher, like all boats float, you know, like
that's what I do
with my stream, right? I try to cover different schools. I try, like, I would like to work with you one day, right? Just like to give them, because people are complex, right? You have people who have a lot of passion, but they can't initialize. They need help, right? So that's where a school like yours could help. You were basically sparking the fuel, right? You're creating the fire. You're ignoring a lot of things. You're telling them, here's how you can get your hands dirty as quick as possible and do something also quickly. But you also, I feel like that is what you do. That's what you're specialized in, right? Here's where like other people can capitalize on the other part where like not only that you had fun now in the other school, we're going to pivot you to the other school that does go into details, like CG circuits, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So it, we complete each other in that way.
100%, because, I mean, for the longest time, it was just me running the school, doing the courses, but now I'm also collaborating with other artists. So in the future, yeah, we will have workshops and courses hosted by other artists, because there's only so much you can know yourself.
Yeah.
There's a limit. I specialize in magical effects, so I feel like I more or less, magical effects can be an endless topic. There's a million variations. This is why it's so fun to me. But I kind of feel like I reached maybe a limit to what I can teach on that niche. So, mm-hmm, for example, and a lot of students have been asking me for, hey, when's some flip coming? When's some water simulations coming? And I haven't done water simulations like professionally, at least. I haven't done. I've tried my hand at it, like with anything else, but it's definitely, I'm not an expert on that. So it's just better to have an expert come and teach a workshop. Mm-hmm. But until we have that on my side, I have no problem like recommending other courses. Obviously, like, for example, someone wants to get better at VEX, which is the coding program, programming language, Houdini, I will definitely recommend some of like Corbin's course on Double Jump Academy film effects. Mm-hmm. Like, that's definitely, because he's a genius in, mm-hmm, VEX. So I have no problem like recommending other courses. And the main idea is, aside from what you said, is true that we schools, we should help each other out and we should collaborate as much as possible, even though from my point of view, we are competitors, but also we are friends. But the way I see it is that each school contributes to the overall health of the scene as a whole. And it's just that I introduce a lot of new people to Houdini. I bring a lot of people over from Cinema 4D, from Blender maybe.
Yeah.
And we just grow overall as a community. We just have more users. It's not necessarily like we're stealing clients from each other, because we're all bringing like more clients. Like someone who I bring over can go over to another school and maybe buy some courses there, and then they will come to me as well. So like, but for me, ultimately, if a student asks me, he wants to do something, he wants to learn something, and I don't have that in my curriculum, then I will have no problem like recommending any other course. It doesn't matter what platform. It's all about learning.
Yeah.
Like, my end goal is for students to teach, to learn the stuff that they want, right, and to get better every day. So that's the main goal. Like, if I go broke somehow by recommending other schools, which it's far from happening, then I'll accept it, because the end goal is for students to learn.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a logical, like, even if you think about it mathematically, like, if you have suggested a course from another school, you've created a client that will probably have a good experience with online courses, meaning at one point, that person will be like, oh, you know what? Rez is not biased, and it's probably honest person, and I'm gonna come back again. And if I'm interested in more magic effects or more in his content, I will just gonna come back and buy that course too. I look at it like video games. I imagine if there was one company that is making video games, that would suck, right? We will not have variety.
Yeah.
We will all probably be playing a game like Fortnite. And that's
monopolies are bad. I think monopolies are bad regardless.
It's super bad. Like,
across industries. Yeah.
And if everybody's is like profit focused, we will just have a situation again like Adobe. Like, there's no alternative to
Adobe and Autodesk as well. They tend to like get like buy software that are like really cool, and the community loves the software.
Yeah.
I can't really think of any examples right now, but they buy the software because it's doing well. Then they no longer spend resources on it. They think they can just make it, or they buy it so they don't have competition, which is also like really bad. It's really unhealthy. Yeah. Monopolies are just bad in general.
It's bad for jobs. It's bad for the consumer. It's bad for the business. Yep, it's just bad all around.
100%. Yeah. And it's just, if if you do the wrong moves and you go under, I mean, that's kind of, that's the risk of business, right?
Yeah.
It's probably on you. So it definitely won't be because if that happens to me, it definitely won't be because I'm recommending other courses as well. It's something wrong fundamentally that I've done, right? To, you know, maybe misuse the trust of my students, which is really the last thing I would ever want to do.
Yeah,
at
as
this
a teacher,
point.
That will be like the last thing you want to do. You want to focus on building trust first and foremost, and then focusing on like leadership values of like making them trust you and trust what you're saying and trust everything you're teaching them. But also like be honest with them in the beginning. Like you said, for example, on this podcast, and I appreciate that you said that, you said, we're ignoring things. Why? Because we want to like spark the fuel and create fire. Yep. Like we want you to get going ASAP. And once that is done, you're creating a cool thing. Your confidence is boosted. However, if you want to go into details, here's maybe a course that we want to do or a course from a different school. And I feel like that's the perfect example of we need to stop thinking about this as only a business, because it is not. It's a people business, first of all. You're teaching people.
100% it is. But for me, it's a little bit different than other schools because I didn't set out to create a school. It's just something that naturally really, I just very naturally, like organically, I would say I reached to this level because I was just selling my courses on CG Circuit.
Oh.
So I started learning Houdini like 5 years ago or something like that. I got really good at it fast because I also carried a lot of experience from like my other 3D applications that I was mastering. So I already know how to put pretty stuff on screen. And then it was just a matter of implementing Houdini into that. But after I use Houdini to create some templates, now I'm not creating templates anymore, obviously.
Yeah.
But I created a course at some point because I noticed that there was a severely lacking area in the course space where a lot of people were teaching Houdini, like Steve Van Epping for Applied Houdini. He was teaching Houdini, but the end result wasn't really amazing. But for me, when I saw that, and when I was creating I was using Houdini to create some of my own projects, I was able to get a pretty cool result, and that wasn't really present in a lot of courses.
Mm.
And especially not teaching this integration with Houdini and Nuke, which with Nuke, you can really get like maybe 500% of the renders that you can get out of Houdini. Just by adding some simple glow or some simple processing effect, you can really elevate the project as a whole. So there was this gap, and I decided that, hey, I might just make a course and see what happens. And at the time I was making courses, I also had a lot of experience already making tutorials, because prior to learning Houdini, I was actually creating a lot of tutorials for After Effects as well. So I had I had some teaching experience as well. So I always just enjoyed making tutorials. They're still on my YouTube channel. If anyone goes back like a few years ago, they can see some of my earlier versions of Voxide, which is cool. So I put it on CG Circuit, and to my surprise, it actually made some sales.
Cool.
Then I was like, well, I mean, I should probably make, I have so much stuff I know in Houdini already, I should probably make another course. And it was also a very cool platform, I would say, to experiment. Because I can set out to create whatever project I want. So, for example, if I wanted to learn something with water, with flip simulations, I can do a lot of research, make something cool that I like, and then just recreate it and show the whole process, and then that's a course, so I can make some extra money, which that was the idea at the time. So after I created a bunch of courses on CG Circuit, I decided that most of the audience was coming from my side on YouTube, so I decided to actually sell them on Gumroad to get a higher percentage,
because
it was my audience more or less. But then after Gumroad, it was like, maybe I should just create a website. So that's how Voxai.com started. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, now we are here and I have a bunch of stuff. And I'm in a very fortunate position now collaborate with all of the best artists in the world to create courses and workshops. So in the future, it's going to be even more exciting. There's a long list ahead of me. I'm always thinking like I have 5 things to do.
Yeah.
And I cross like 3 of those 5 things. But in the meantime, 7 other things add on top. So it's always a never ending, always expanding list of stuff that needs to be done. And
That's so interesting how at one point when you say, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself, everything starts to...
That's my whole philosophy, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's also one thing I've done with the streaming, with the Let's Learn. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. I was like, my goal is to learn and earn. I was like, okay, I'm just going to reach out to some online schools, make an affiliation deal with them, and just like stream my experience. And I started with Houdini, actually. Because it is this mystified like program where everybody's like telling you that it's hard to learn, and that is like one thing with me. I hate to be put in a box. I just hate it. I'm like, oh, you're saying it's hard. Oh, I'm gonna go and learn it then.
You hate people placing limits.
I hate the limits, the categorization. I'm like, I'm gonna challenge your perception. Like, I even did this with game dev a little bit. Like, I created the game about my story, how I went away from Syria and stuff like that. I was like, let's push the envelope of what do you know about games or characters generally, you know? And you know, when you play the game, there's me with my face appearing and commentating in the game to create empathy, basically. Because it was challenging, because like, who am I playing anyway? Like, you see that a lot with games, also with like streamers who play Let's Plays. They are constantly like shitting on the main character or on the other characters.
But they
wouldn't have done so if those characters were real, because we're kind of programmed to be nice to other people, or most of us, let's say. And so this is...
You wouldn't say it to my face, all right?
Yeah, you wouldn't say it to my face, exactly. Or the other thing is, like, when you watch a streamer watching, like, one of those summer game fests or whatever, and they see the trailers of the upcoming games, and they keep, like, saying, oh, this game is shit, and this game is shit, and this is this, and this is that. Well, like, if you were the developer working on this game for the last 3 years, and you're watching the streamer shitting on your game, you're like, oh, wow. Like, this person had no idea what we have put, like the amount of effort and love we put into this project, and it just gets shit on because so they look edgy and so they look cool. If these streamers were working on the game, they wouldn't have said as much. You know what I mean?
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
But I think these streamers, they're like, they're like a little bit of a weird bunch because they have to say stuff like that to like keep their audience engaged, especially if they're streamers who like their main target audience are like 14 to 15 year old, like little kids. Then they, it's just, I kind of get it though. It's just fun to shit on things just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, some streamers don't mean it, but some go definitely too far. Like, they don't take into consideration the huge amount of work that got put into something. And this is also true. I mean, exactly the same thing that you're saying is probably true for the VFX, the CG industry, where a lot of people are just trashing CGI just because it's CGI. Just because if you notice, like, 5% of it is CGI, this is like, oh, this is terrible. This is trash CGI, like bad CGI. There's like this trend, and there's also like this very hurtful trend now that studios are masking how much CGI there actually is in the movies, because they insist that everything is shot on in camera, and there's practical effects and stuff like that, where there's really almost everything is still digital. So there's this trend, but every time I see those people commenting like, oh, the CGI is so bad, I'm like, motherfucker, you try doing it. You try doing it.
No, it's also like, it's super harmful for VFX artists who are trying to find jobs. Like, if let's say 20 VFX artists worked on a project and they are just constantly Like the whole department is being dismantled and like not mentioned from the people in charge and from the actors and from all those people who are in the face of camera. And, you know, they're getting basically dismissed, their whole work dismissed. How do you think they will work on another project? How do you think they would feel about themselves generally? Like, this is going to be really... this is terrible, terrible industry practice.
It's really destructive, yeah.
And it's almost like, in my opinion, I know people shit on this, but like, in my opinion, there must be some type of unity, you know, between VFX artists.
I mean, definitely, there's been talks about VFX union for some time, and a lot of people have tried to like put together something. There's like huge Reddit posts about it and stuff like that, but. I don't know, because I'm always I always consider myself kind of on the fringes of the industry. I haven't really worked at like a large studio with a proper epic pipeline and stuff like that. So our projects were always like a lot smaller scale with smaller teams. And but I have talked with other artists who have worked on big projects in big studios, and I'm not sure exactly why this is happening. But it is really hurtful. It's just super destructive, and it's just it's funny because it's this whole no CGI use, everything is practical. It's just for a marketing standpoint, it's just to sell a little bit more tickets. But it's exactly like you said, you might risk like disbanding an entire studio over
it. Not just the studio, like, you're bending the whole industry.
Yeah.
Like, you might not be able to hire visual effects artists anymore. This is how bad this is. I've talked with, like, people who organize other schools, like, regards VFX, and they said, like, Jack, honestly, I wouldn't even recommend it to my own daughter to learn VFX right now.
Oh, that's... Like,
this is how bad this shit
got, really unfortunate.
You know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, VFX is a principle that brings in a lot of other principles, and it's such as composing, what is it called?
Compositing.
And like, you have to have 3D knowledge, texturing knowledge, you have to have artistic knowledge. And I feel like the next step, if you're a visual effects artist, is to dive into real-time VFX for games. I'm talking.
I mean, is that still a healthy industry?
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. It's really one of the healthiest in regards to the games industry. Is not healthy itself, but real-time VFX is always needed for games, because a game without VFX is pretty much empty. Yeah.
That's really good to hear. Yeah. Honestly, because if I'm thinking about expanding like the courses to other areas, then real-time is definitely like high up on the list.
That's the area. That's the area. I wanted to talk about real time with you, actually, and if you're planning to do any of that on your...
Well, because a lot of effects that I do already are based on real time. They're not... kind of created a special niche for myself where I show you how to do stuff that looks like simulations, but without actually simulations. They're all like linked to the frame, to the time, like kind of in real time, I would imagine. So they're not like simulation, because the last frame doesn't depend on the previous frame. That's really what a simulation is, where you need the last frame to determine the next frame. But a lot of effects, you can just bypass that. You can just link it to the time. So the bleach thing, the foot stomp, it's a shame that it's not in the reel, but... it looks like an RBD simulation. It looks like something that's actually simulated, but really I'm just moving the points and rotating the pieces based on the time, right? So I already, my mind, the first solution when someone presents me with an effect to do, my first solution would be if I can make this without simulations.
Yes.
Right. If I can maybe play around with the noises, if I can, in real time, you manipulate the UVs a lot.
Yeah.
You do a lot of tricks with the UVs. And in Houdini, like, you would have complete control over the UVs, because you're just manipulating like point information, vertex information.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a lot of options to do some cool stuff with UVs, like flowing rivers and stuff like that. But even more than that, and generating meshes procedurally. I've seen that you do a lot of in real time. You do a lot of like ribbons, like sweeps, which you map certain types of noise textures onto, and you animate the noise textures. You add some post processing effects like in the engine and stuff like that. So I mean, all of that is like really fun to me. But yeah, I just didn't cross paths with the real time VFX community. I think this is my first. You're the first one that I'm really talking to about real time effects.
But I feel like our areas cross path a lot, and there's a lot of innovation to be discovered. And the only way to discover those innovations is to put two people or more from the disciplinary, right, and put them together. You know, the real time effect person will ask like, "Hey, how to make tileable meshes?" Right. I want a tileable liquid mesh that simulates a waterfall. Can we do that in Houdini? And you'll be like, easy, right?
Yeah.
And we kind of find a way to, together, like we find a way on a stream or whatever, we find a way to make it work. So we make the tileable mesh, simulate the water, but in a tileable form. And we export that. And then we put it in a particle system that keeps spawning those and also scaling them and making other particle effects out of that. I think that there's a lot of potential for that. And there's no tutorials out there for this. Maybe there are some blogs, but not no tutorial of how like you can utilize Houdini to create tileable meshes, to create particles like that.
Yeah, yeah. This is the part where it was interesting, because I have no idea how people get into real-time effects, because there aren't as many resources.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's the whole industry is very guarded.
It's just school, probably. Or...
Sorry?
It's just something that you learn in school, or...
No, not at all.
Not really online?
No, so there is online schools. There's resources out there. So yesterday, Mad VFX, the guy from Mad VFX, Mustafa, he created his own school, because he also had to go through like the whole process alone and like try his best to get the education. It's the whole real time thing happened because games needed effects, and so you had like texture artists, technical artists, and other artists just like, you know, also like software engineers trying to figure the stuff out. Like, how can we make fire? And out of necessity, they had to create particles in an engine, right? Eventually, it evolved so much that it became its own thing. Like, Unreal comes with its own particle system. Unity comes with its own particle system. And it's still kind of a new field. It's a new position to put yourself in. That's why the jobs in that section is not as effective, because, like, take a Europe, for example, there's only 800 or more real-time VFX artists. So it's a very niche thing. Like, even this podcast, when I had like real-time VFX artists on, like the last six episodes or so, not a lot of views. Why? Because it's a niche thing. Like, you need to be able to draw, you need to be able to animate, you need to be able to understand 3D meshes, you need to be, not need to, but like, it will help you if you know how to code, it will help you if you have shader knowledge. It like 10 areas you need to be good at in order for you to put all those eggs in different baskets. And like, if I ask you if you want to be in the industry quickly, you will probably say, I would learn one principle and I would learn it really good and I'll be really good at it. I'll either be a concept artist, I will either be a, like a character artist, or like a props artist, and just try to get into art. What you're doing is you're learning one principle. The real-time VFX gets all those principles together, produces this like almost like magician type of like skill, and so yeah, it's there is online education. There's like Mad VFX, there's VFX Apprentice. I saw Double Jump Academy made a couple of courses for real-time. Rebel Way made some, but again, not explored as it deserved to be explored. You have like industry people coming in teaching already what is made, but like you mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, making courses is an interesting opportunity to research. And 100%. I feel like a guy like you understands that and can like make something new, a new pipeline, a new work, and you think that no one saw, and put it on a course out there in combination with Houdini, because I don't think that's utilized as much, honestly.
Well, I mean, aren't the double jump or rebel way courses with Houdini?
Yes,
They're
but I'm talking about meshes, like tileable meshes. This is all things that you can do with it. And the things they explore in those courses, they already are in the industry. Like, I'm talking about stuff that are so unique, like such as importing a whole simulation while it's still optimized, and small in size, and
Yeah,
porting it into particle systems. Things like
I
this, I don't
think,
see as much.
well, because actually, it's funny that you say that VFX in games, like, you need all of these areas, because all the time I was thinking, I had this in the back of my head that you make a drawing, it's like a 2D picture, right? So then if you want to take it to the next level, you make it in 3D. Right, but it's still a static image. If you want to take it to the next level, you add time to it, you add movement, right? So now you have a clip, an animation. But then games are like the
The
ultimate
ultimate.
art form, because you also have the input of the player, right? So that's because it combines all of the even the music and the sound and
And
the
text.
visuals and the movement and everything and the story element. So it's really like the ultimate. Ultimate art form. So it's really, I would love to get a little bit into real time as well. But like I said, there's such a long list of stuff that I have to do. I have no idea if I'll ever have the time. It's probably better if I collaborate with an artist to
Oh
like
yeah,
post a little
definitely. I
bit like
think
that.
there's no shame in like sitting down, even if it's just like a stream and you record that and you offer it not as a course but as an experience.
Definitely.
I feel like that is it has its own value, right? So you get two senior level people together and like, hey, how can I put my skills, like as a Houdini artist that does simulation, that does those amazing renders, in your world, real like a senior level real time VFX artist, right?
I actually tried doing exactly that a couple of years ago when I was learning Houdini, and I wanted to master all the software. Like at one point, I was like, I'm the one man army. I can do everything. I know how to sculpt. I know how to retopologize. I know how to. I mean, animation, character animation is super hard. That's the one thing that kind of beat me, trashed me a little bit. But then I also said, well, I want to learn Unreal Engine because it's. I was seeing all these tutorials with people putting up like huge environments together in like a couple of hours, all of these time lapses. So I was like, well, this is way faster than Houdini. So I was like, okay, so I'm gonna make a simulation in Houdini and somehow import it as an Alembic or something in an Unreal environment. So I did the environment and I was able to, and this was 2 years ago, so I'm sure the workflow is a lot more optimized now, but I was able to get the point data from Houdini as a JSON file kind of thing to import in Niagara system. So then I was able to place all of the points which I had in Houdini in a Niagara system, and it was actually pretty successful. And you can still alter a lot of stuff because the Niagara system is really close to what we are doing usually with any particle simulation. Like even in After Effects, there was Tribe Called Particular, which is just you modify the scale over time, you randomize the colors and all of the settings that you usually have. So it was very familiar, and I got to a pretty decent result. It was just cumbersome, the workflow, because you were exporting it as a JSON file, which you had to import with some kind of plugin that would break in other engine versions and stuff like that. So I'm sure it's a lot more smooth now, probably. So it is something I would like to explore, but there's like a million things that I would like to explore. Yeah, so this is my limitation when I'm just one guy.
See, the only thing
But yeah.
that if I were in your position, I would be looking into that sooner, because like if there is problems in the industry right now and people are panicking, such as like visual effects artists right now, or maybe a month ago, they're probably wondering
Oh,
about
even right now, 100%.
Yeah, okay. So they're probably wondering, like, how can we utilize still our skills into other industries and bring my, like, knowledge in cinematics into other industry? That could be, like, Unreal Cinematics. That could be all those other areas, like, in games or in VR experience or whatever. Like, if that knowledge exists, I feel like we're empowering ourselves to not only work in the film industry, but also like put our foot into other industries as well. Like I think visual effects artists also work with DJs a lot, right?
Well, with DJs?
Yeah, because you could oh, make like, all those. Yeah.
The loops, the kind of
the installations, like music, with the DJs, music. Right? Yeah.
I mean, there's the Anima, right? If you know the concerts they hold, where there's like a character, like smashing the screen, like a huge screen, and there's a creature coming through and stuff like that. Are like really, really cool. So yeah, probably. And I had an opportunity to work with something like that. We would they set up a DJ, and he would have like special gloves, and when they would do something with a glove or press a button or something, particles would pop up.
Awesome.
And the environment was to be done like virtual reality with Unreal Engine.
Wow.
And I would have to, but I mean, nothing came of it, because I, at that point, I was already doing VoxEye, and I was like, no thanks. Even though that sound like pretty fucking cool, but
That could be its own thing. Like, it could be its own course, right? Where you're just showing the pipeline of how to do like
a music visualizer. Yeah. Not explored as much. It could be there's like a million ideas. Yeah. But what you're saying with having this option for artists to pivot to real time effects, this is something that I didn't consider, honestly. This is something that I'll really think about. Like, so thank you for giving me this idea. It's definitely, it sounds like something I should do in the future.
Yeah, I mean, no worries. I'll just take 50% of all the sales.
100%.
Listen, man, it's been great having you on. Is there anything
already
you would like?
An hour.
Yeah, it's been like 52 minutes, but I'd like to take the last 10 minutes to ask my guests, like, if they have anything they would like to promote
just
or talk
went
about.
By fast.
Why?
Well, I guess we just released a new workshop, Particle Effects in Houdini, and this is like, I have a lot of magical stuff and magical courses, but they're like exploring kind of just one or two techniques. But this is, I wanted to create like a 1 giga course.
Ooh.
With everything I know, so you don't have any, like, if you're in a situation where you have to create a particle, a magical effect, you really won't have any problems doing that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to include as much as possible, and
awesome.
It's been like a huge grind. I kind of went radio silence. I didn't even post as much on social media for the last 3 or 4 months.
Oh,
it was
no.
Just nonstop. Yeah. It's so, bro, it's so, it's a lot doing like a 40-hour workshop where you just edit everything, like every gap, every sentence you have to redo. It's been a lot of work. So that's out right now, I guess. And I mean, be on the lookout for future courses. I have a lot of exciting stuff in the pipeline. Hopefully by the next time we talk, if you'll have me on, I'll have even more stuff. And now I have to consider the real-time thing.
Absolutely.
I have to place this somewhere in my timeline.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to help out with like organizing it, because I have a lot of ideas.
I mean, definitely we'll have to talk more about this in depth.
Yes.
Maybe we can do the workshop together.
Yeah.
Or
no. I mean, I'm pretty sure we can put something together, because I'm like super excited. First of all, I'm like very passionate about online schools. Like, very passionate guy about the stuff.
Same.
I really, when I got laid off like in 2024, all what I wanted to do is learn. But what I realized is that I'm really into the stuff. Like, I'm really into what you do, right? I'm also into like what Double Jump does, and like our VFX Apprentice or Mad VFX. I'm like, come on, you know, let's bring this to the next level. Like, I'm a visionary type of person. I like ideas. And I like to execute those ideas in a way to help businesses. Like, that's ideally, like, I would call myself an online school consultant, because I love to like go through everything and do like audit of websites. Like let me look into the website. Let's see how we can increase your sales. Let's pull some ideas together and like get it all. Yeah.
I slowly got into that because I built a website on my own as well.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to actually learn something new. It was like a cool break from Houdini all the time.
Yes.
So that's like a fun part, like figuring out like, and it started like really convoluted and with a lot of stuff. And then it got cleaner over time, just a lot simpler. And it's funny how that works, that we kind of go in reverse to make it better. We subtract things to make it more
That's true.
To make it better, like overall.
Yeah.
And I'm really passionate about teaching as well, because for me, when I was learning After Effects, if you're familiar with videocopilot.net, Andrew Kramer had some of the best. It's really the holy grail of tutorials. He's such a gifted teacher, and he made learning After Effects so fun. And he was just so good at it, and he put up like over 100-something tutorials, super high quality, online for free.
Wow.
And a lot of people were like putting a lot of stuff for free online, and that's really because I didn't go to like any school. There's no schools like that in Romania. Yeah. There was no attempt. I dropped out of 2 colleges. I mean, yeah. But it was so cool that I was able to learn all this stuff, and the guys were putting up all this quality stuff together. So my dream right now, my goal really is, if I collaborate with enough people to do the paid courses, then maybe I can get the business to a self-sufficient state where I don't really have to put like paid workshops, and I can just create free courses like forever.
Yeah.
And that's really my goal.
I mean, the only thing with free courses for me that does not work for me, because like I have ADHD, I need to put like commitment.
Yeah.
So when I pay money, I'm telling myself every day, hey, you paid for this.
Yep. So it's an investment. Yeah.
It's an investment. So even if it's just like a reduced amount, even if it's just subscription only behind a paywall, it does everybody good, I feel. Does the even on an economy level, right? If you just look at the economy, it does everybody good. There's no shame in making business out of. I just feel like always make money, because you never know when is the bad day, right? So, and everybody's time is money, I feel. I always encourage, before you put stuff completely for free, like just think that there are people who are willing to give money to learn.
100%. But for me, the case, and I'm very fortunate to be in this position, that I can make some free courses on the side as well, and still, it the business right now is kind of self-sustainable. I could probably take a few months off, and my all the other courses would still probably generate revenue. So I'm very grateful for that.
That's good.
It's just that there are a lot of cool artists, like maybe from other countries, that just really can't afford. And I really don't want them to be left out.
Yeah.
And the idea is to provide quality training for everyone. And then maybe if you do the free courses, you get good enough, you get a job. And then maybe you'll enroll in a paid course. And I have a lot of students who did that. So that's really awesome.
Yeah.
But it's really about giving back to the community. I really feel like I have to give something back. So it's always like one for me, one for you, right?
One for you. Cool. Like, yeah.
That's kind of like my philosophy.
Now I like that you're thinking about other countries, because like I come from a country where like you probably
I mean I'm from Romania.
Get a visa. Yeah, I get it too. Yeah, of course. But like it's really good from you that you're offering stuff for free as well. But like there's probably nothing for free these days. Like, even if it was for free, I subscribe to our newsletter. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be.
I mean, I have something for free, but you watching it, you know, it's gonna help the YouTube algorithm to further me, and definitely. Yeah.
So, listen, man, it was great having you. We're closing to an hour right now.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
It was awesome. It was fun.
I would love to have you again. I'll just pivot to the viewers a little bit and say, hey, thanks for clicking on this and watching that far.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
I should mention this, but on voxite.com, there's a beginner section, and all the courses there are free. So if you want to start, if you're watching this, you want to give it a go for Houdini, then you can just start for free. I have like, there's over like probably 20 or 30 hours of free content, like as high quality as the paid courses. So, you know, go check it out.
Yes.
That's the last thing. That's the last thing.
Awesome. And go check that out. If you like the episode, leave a like, share it with your friends, and subscribe. I'll see you in the next one. All right, everybody. Bye. We'll still talk afterwards. All right. Bye-bye.